Lovely to be here, and we're going to miss you guys as you go away to the States and back home. And you, Mike and Frankie, you'll be going home on the 28th of May. So, so this week we're going to speak about Pentecost. The reason why we're going to speak about Pentecost is because next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So we thought we'd kind of position ourselves around that. And a few weeks ago, when we had a prophetic word within our gathering, it was kind of, well, what language is that? Why is that? How does that work? And we thought we'd like to try and explore what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, and how the Holy Spirit operates and purpose. And we're not going to do that all today. No way am I going to. But maybe we can start to position ourselves, and in the weeks to come, we have Pentecost praise next Sunday at the cathedral. So we won't meet here in the morning, but we will meet at the cathedral. Sam Ward is the speaker. He is from the Message Trust. He's really good. It starts at 6:30. What would be really great is if we could be there a bit earlier. I'm guessing 5:45 to get in and to get a place, because last time we were at the back.
Yeah,
be good to be. Yeah. Let's go and put our towels and some seats and get towards the front, because I think we would be. And to be together as a community would be fantastic. So that will be fantastic to do that. So why is next Sunday Pentecost Sunday? So just want to say a couple of things briefly about where it sits historically. Are you at the back of me there? So where it sits historically and why we've picked up on that tradition. So first of all, I want to say about the historical aspect. And want to set ourselves on what the purpose and power of the Holy Spirit is. I'm going to take my sort of from Acts 2 as being my main reference point, and I'm going to read quite a chunk out of that as we go through, so that grounds us in what the Bible says. So in the Jewish tradition, Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, and Passover was the time when Jesus was arrested and went to the cross. So 50 days from that point is Pentecost Sunday. So that was a festival, and at the time, Pentecost means 50. Pente means 50. So 50 days from that point, from Passover, people would gather in Jerusalem from all over the Jewish diaspora, from all around the world. And they would come together to worship at the temple. So that's why this is an important time. And what happened at this time was 50 days after the Passover. So we as Christians celebrate 50 days after Easter Sunday. And those events are described in Acts chapter 2. So I believe that the Holy Spirit is active and working in our lives and in our church today, and is available to everybody. We are a people and a church. We are the church. We are the people, you know. And we believe in the power of the Word and the power of the Spirit. In fact, I've spent some time this weekend with a group of people from another group of churches from Scotland and Liverpool, and every time they came up and spoke, they said, "We believe in the Word and we believe in the Spirit." You know, and it kind of impacted me. Yes, this is what we believe. We believe in the Word and the power of the Word which is in the Bible, but also the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, wow, I want to capture that for me. So we're going to spend some of that time looking at the Holy Spirit and making time for each other to encounter the Holy Spirit. Whether it's for the first time, So if you've never encountered the Holy Spirit before, don't know anything about it, we're going to make some time for you to encounter the Holy Spirit. Or whether it's your 1,000th time plus that you've encountered, we want to make time, because I know that I need the Holy Spirit in my life continually. So let's start reading Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. So rather than me try to unpick all that of fire and element, I thought it'd be better to get some friends of mine to help me. I'll have a little video. I'm going to show the first couple of minutes, which helps us understand what was happening at that time and what it means with it, the tongues of fire, and how that. I want a start button.
One of the earliest accounts about Jesus of Nazareth, his life, death, and resurrection, was written by a man named Luke. We know it as the Gospel of Luke. But Luke continued the story in a second volume, called the Book of Acts. And it's all about what Jesus continued to do after his resurrection.
Acts begins with the disciples, who are hanging out with Jesus, who's just come back to life, which is mind-blowing to imagine.
And then for weeks, the risen Jesus kept teaching them about his upside-down kingdom, the new creation that he launched through his death and resurrection.
This is exciting stuff, and the disciples are ready to go tell the world.
But then Jesus tells them to wait, to stay in Jerusalem until they receive a new kind of power so they can be faithful witnesses to Jesus and his kingdom. Then he says that their mission is going to begin in Jerusalem, then move out to Judea and Samaria, and then from there out into the nations. It's like a road map for the whole book of Acts. Then the disciples saw Jesus enthroned as king of all creation.
So the disciples wait, wondering when this power is going to come. And then comes the time of Pentecost.
So this is an ancient Israelite festival. It's during the early summer, and thousands of Jewish pilgrims would come back to Jerusalem from all over the world, all these different languages and cultures colliding in the city.
And the disciples are together in a house, which is suddenly filled with rushing wind along with fire. Fire splinters off into tongues of fire hovering over people's heads. What's this all about?
Yeah, so Luke is tapping into a repeated Old Testament. When God's presence showed up similarly at Mount Sinai, he made a covenant with Israel and gave them the Ten Commandments. Then later, when God's glory came in a pillar of fire, it filled the tabernacle when he came to live among them.
That was just one pillar of fire, not many.
Exactly. Luke's making an important point here. This is God's personal temple presence, God's spirit that was foretold by Israel's prophets. And now it's come to take up residence in the new temple of Jesus' body, that is, his people. They become little mobile temples where God now dwells.
And they start to tell stories about Jesus, but they're speaking in languages that they didn't know before, yet all the visitors can understand them. Well, what's this all about?
Well, Peter gets up to explain that this is the fulfillment of Israel's hopes based on the scriptures. God's plan was always to use the unified family of Abraham to bring peace and justice to the world. But the tribes of Israel had been scattered because of the exile. Now here at Pentecost, representatives from all of the tribes come back together and they're introduced to their Messiah, the crucified and risen Jesus, so they can now become the restored people of Israel.
And thousands of them start following the way of Jesus.
Which brings us to Luke's tale of two temples. So you've got the temple that Herod built in Jerusalem, where Jesus' disciples worship like the rest of the Israelites. But now there's also Jesus' temple, which consists of people. This temple's meeting together in homes all over Jerusalem, and they were approaching life in a radical new way.
Right, think about it. Many of these pilgrims aren't even from Jerusalem, so they formed these new families, and they're all depending on each other.
Yeah, people would sell their stuff, provide for the poor among them. They ate their meals together. They said their daily prayers together.
They were learning from the apostles what it meant to live as if Jesus is the true king of the world. And it must have been exhilarating.
But...
So, mobile temples, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. That fire, that's what it's about. I think it's a helpful summary that shows us how God's presence over the temple and now that God's new temple and the followers of is for the followers of Jesus. Note that these temples are people. We're meeting together in homes all around Jerusalem, like we're doing today. In Durham. Mm-hmm. We see that the Holy Spirit came with power on people's lives and it enabled them with a new kind of power to fulfill the mission of God. In Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, we're going to continue the story in Acts chapter 2. If you want to follow it, verse 16. It says, it tells us that the people, Peter in Acts 2:16 tells the people what is happening has been prophesied. In Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. So this is what it says in Acts 2:17 to 21. In the last days, and this is quoting from Joel, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Peter goes on in verses 32 to 33. God raised Jesus from the dead. And we are all witnesses to this. Now he is exalted to the highest honour in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out on us, just as you see and hear today. And then jumping ahead again to verse 37, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. Hopefully not as long. I'm not going to preach as long. Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. About 3,000 in all. Now, as a result of the Holy Spirit coming, followers of Jesus received the Holy Spirit. This Spirit gave them gifts of speaking in other languages, in order to share the good news of Jesus in a way that they could understand. These people asked what they should do, and he gave them a clear pathway to becoming a follower of Jesus. That pathway was to repent of sins, that is, to say sorry for doing the wrong things, to turn to God, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Baptized, we mean by being baptized in water, to identify with the death and resurrection of Jesus and washing away our old sins away. And subsequently, to receive the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was the time of year that the Holy Spirit came in a new way. On the first day, 3,000 believers, and they, I'm assuming, were subsequently baptized. The Holy Spirit came to the first Christians and empowered them in their witness of who Jesus was and is. And we see the growth of the church through the book of Acts, with powerful accounts of how the Holy Spirit guided and supported early followers of Jesus. So, for example, when Stephen spoke under the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 7, or the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus, who became Paul, he encountered the Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes with power and purpose. The Holy Spirit is not just giving us a nice, good goosebump feeling, but it's to build the church and to see that God's kingdom grow and advance. And we can see the power at work in the early church, and I believe we can see this same power at work in our church, in this church, and the church today. You know, I have to confess, I'm not a particularly practical person. Amazing for you to discover that. So when it came to renew our broken down fence, I decided to ask Brian, our neighbour, to come along. And he came along, and apart from bringing the wood, he brought loads of tools and equipment and saws and concrete and stuff that who knows how to use. And he built, he spent days making our fence for us. And it struck me as I was thinking on that, actually, he had the tools, the right tools to build the fence. And I'm guessing that when Michelle built her mum's fence, she had all the right tools.
Yeah. Had to learn how to use
them. Yeah, learn how to use them. And I'm also guessing, Julian, when he builds anything, he has all the tools in his shed.
I'm looking at Julian now, and I'm saying, the look of a man thinking, there are a few more tools I'd like.
Yes, be eager for more. Yeah. And in some ways, the Holy Spirit is here today to equip us to do the work. So as we read in Joel, that the Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, that indicates that it's available for us today. And he wants to equip us as a people, the new temple, with his power to be his image bearers and fulfil the mission that he set us in Matthew 28. Where he said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given them all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So he promises to be with us to the end of the age, through his Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, in chapters 12 and 14, we see there are 9 different spiritual gifts that equip us as individuals, as a church, with as a church with purpose of seeing God's kingdom grow. These gifts are listed in Corinthians as wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. The Spirit is the giver of gifts, and his motive in giving them is to build up the church and extend his kingdom. Paul in Corinthians 1:12 verses, and I'm going to give you a number of scriptures here. Verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of spirits, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. In verse 7, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each one so we can help each other. In verse 11, it says, it is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And in chapter 14, verse 12, it says, and the same is true for you, since you are so eager to have the special abilities of the Spirit, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. And it's worth noting, I think, that there are 9 fruits of the Spirit as well. And in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 25, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit, this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The Holy Spirit changes our lives. He develops and grows them. I spoke to a young man last week at our Taking Ground celebration. We were sent to the door to say goodbye to people as they left. And a guy called Ricky came through. And there's a bit of a, because people come back to eat. So my funny line was always, are you going to come back? And the guy says, yes, I come back every week. He says, I'm on prison release at the moment. It's an open prison. And he said, I come back every week. I'm allowed to come to this service. And he said, I encountered Jesus 8 years ago, and he has made such a difference to my life. He has completely changed me. I was violent, and now when I encountered Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he changed my life. He transformed it from violence into love. And I said, how many years have you got? He said, I've got one more year to go. He was sentenced to 16 years. To get a sentence of 16 years, there must have really been something. Yeah. Yeah. But I was impressed. You know, I was just like, wow. You know, God has changed your life. And you can't change your life. Can't become not a violent person. You need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You need to have him in your life. So I just want to say a couple of things in conclusion, really. Firstly, first thing is about love. Sandwiched between Corinthians 12 and 14 is the chapter on love. And the gifts of the Spirit are fantastic. But without love, it says they are meaningless. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, verse 1, it says, let love be your highest goal. And I think chapter 13 really helps us examine our heart, our attitude, our motivation. It speaks God's language of care, compassion, of gentleness. You know, having gifts of the Spirit is not abrasive or rude. It's the opposite. It builds up, it encourages, it thinks and speaks the best of people. So if you want to know, is this from the Holy Spirit or not? Does it contain these things? And the second area that I just want to touch on is, you know, the time of life and in this world that we live in is increasingly challenging. And there's lots of demands out there, you know, politically, socially. There is threat nationally and internationally. But we are God's means of touching that world. Even just us in our home, we are part of that. But we can't do it in our own strength. We need the power of the Helper. There is no greater need in our world, and we need the tools of the Spirit to help us. And I sense that God is calling us as a church that meets in the house in Durham to be part of that global answer. And God, I believe, wants to equip us with the power of the Spirit. And we just need to ask. God wants to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And he wants to see his kingdom extended. And I want us to pray to receive the Holy Spirit and believe. Whether it's for the first time or for the thousandth time. So we're going to have a time where we're going to pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. You know, the first hearers didn't have an explanation, a series of teaching. They were given some simple guidance. Repent of your sins, your wrongdoing. Turn to God. Be baptized in water. Receive the Holy Spirit. And I guess they skipped number three there at that time because they received the Holy Spirit straight away. And you can receive the Holy Spirit today. Yeah, okay, next week we're going to join with churches across Durham and the North East in unity, declaring praise and worship of God's love and faithfulness. And I pray that each church to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be equipped to carry the good news effectively and with power. And as I said, we've got some people coming to help us to look deeper into the Holy Spirit. We've got a couple called Rick and Liz Thomas coming in 2 weeks' time. Rick married our daughter. No, he didn't marry our daughter. He did the marriage service. Ray married our daughter.
Yeah.
Mike and Liz Beaumont. So, Carl, you have a Bible there.
Yes.
Mike wrote not the Bible, but the bits in between. So he's a Bible teacher, pastor, and a podcaster as well, even. He's going to come and help us explore even more of the Holy Spirit. So we've got some great teachers and people to come and help us. But I believe the Holy Spirit is available to us today for us to receive. Peter reminds us this. The promise is for you, to your children, and to those far away. And all who have been called by the Lord our God. Those who believe that what Peter said, we're baptized. When we become followers, we repent of our sins, we turn to Jesus, and we're firstly baptized in water, and secondly filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't think the order matters. I think you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit today, and you need to catch up with being baptized in water. We have a great garden for that, and we have a great hot water tank. We don't use it. We've got cold water. You can be baptized. You know, very, very simply, very, very easily, we can arrange that. So if you feel that, I want to be, you know, part of God's kingdom. We have some symbols of our faith. One of that is we take communion. You know, we share bread as the body. It's a symbol that Christ's body is broken for us. We take wine, that his blood was shed for us. When we do that, we identify that we are followers of Jesus.
Yes.
The other thing that we do is we are baptized in water.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, that's our symbol, our confession of faith. You know, if you do any of those things, then you're a follower. You know, you're saying, I, nailing my colours to the mast, I am a believer. To be filled with the Holy Spirit enables you to live life in that confession, in that love, in that power, to see your life changed and transformed. What we're going to do now is I'm going to play some music. This may not be for everybody, but I'm going to ask if you would like to be prayed for the first time or the thousandth time, you know, you've sent, God wants to refill you, re-encounter, then we're going to pray around here. If you've actually, not for me today, could I ask you to put the kettle on and have a chat with one another? And, you know, just quietly, yes, quietly. Quiet. But, well, we just want to make space this morning for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, we Phil set us up really well with, yes, you know, coming to the Father, yeah, coming to the Son, yeah, coming to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, He's here, He wants to touch our lives. Mm-hmm.